From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. The folks over at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana, will be along to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, get some sage advice from ag economist Darrell Good right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He on Monday wrote just a bit in his weekly outlook about the unfinished business of corn and soybeans. We'll hear it all today during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check in on what the settlement prices came in like from the Chicago Board of Trade CME Group this afternoon. Nearby December soft red winter wheat at 646.5, up 3.5 cents. The March at 657.5, 4 cents higher. In July at $6.58 and a quarter, up 3.5. The hard red at $6.91 for the harvest month July of next year, up 3.25 cents. December corn futures now. 4.56 and a quarter for the harvest month, up 2.25 for the day. The March at 4.68 and three quarters, 2.25 higher. And May corn at 4.77, up 2.25. July 4.83 and three quarters, up 2.25. Next year, September at 4.88 and a half, 2.25 higher. And December of 2014 at $4.95 and a quarter, 2.5 cents higher. November beans at 13.47 and three quarters, 5.25 higher. January futures at 13.50 and a quarter, 7.25 higher, and the March contract at $13.32 and a half, up 7.5 cents. July soybeans $12.99 and a quarter, up 7.75. November at $11.89 and a quarter, 7.5 cents higher for the day. The bean meal at $427, down $1.80 in the October. Bean oil at $42.47 for the same contract, 47 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the October at $125.27 and a half, up a dime. December there at $128.95, 30 cents higher. September feeders at $157.15, up 55. The October at $158.30, 42 and a half cents higher. And the lean hogs finished the October at $91.72 and a half, up 75 cents per 100 pounds. December futures at $87.95, 42 and a half cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $108.36 a barrel, up $2.96. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.74 and a tenth, that's 0.8 cents higher, eight cents and a tenth of a penny higher. Ethanol futures at $1.84 and a half, up 6 cents, and the difference between the two is now 89 and 6 tenths of a cent. That's just about 2 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.71 and 4 tenths, down 3 and a tenth. Diesel fuel at $3.04 and 7 tenths of a cent a barrel, up 4 and 9 tenths. And the gold futures on the day, down $1.70 at $1,307.70 a troy ounce. The U.S. dollar trading 80.25. That's down 0.88 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, we'll see isolated showers, a few thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high of 83 degrees on a south wind at about 8 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation set at 20%. Tonight, isolated showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will be before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy and a low of 67 degrees. South winds at about 8 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall this evening, 20%. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of rainfall, mainly after 1 in the afternoon, USA Central Time. Partly sunny, a high of 88 degrees on a south wind at 9 to 13, gusting to 17. And then Thursday evening, a 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, and 68 degrees. South winds to the southwest at 9 to 11, gusting to 17. On Friday, showers and thunderstorms are very likely, mostly cloudy, and a high of 78 degrees. Southwest winds at 10 to 13, they'll turn to the west in the afternoon. Winds could gust again as high as 17. Rainfall chances on Friday set at 60%.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, as you watched the trade today, which seemed to be pretty quiet, although I only saw the trade at the end of the afternoon and what the settlements looked like, what did you make of it?
Well, I think you could have heard most of the nation yawning, because that's about the way it looked for most of the day. We got our biggest bump, actually, when we once passed the 1 o'clock time frame and had Mr. Bernanke come out and say that he's going to continue to buy bonds for at least another month. And all of a sudden, you know, we took a bounce up and then settled a little bit back off. We actually put in the new daily high at that point in time. And so, you know, it was pretty quiet. And it's not a big surprise. I mean, there's just not a lot of news out there. You've got rain still predicted to come in, you know, to be coming in. And we've got harvest going on. So I thought it was a pretty impressive day. We closed corn, beans, and wheat all on the positive side of the market.
Well, that's a little different than we have for a bit. Is it the sign of a new trend, or just waiting for the grain stocks report, waiting for the WASDE numbers in October, waiting for harvest to really get into swing? What are we waiting for?
Waiting for the end of the month, the end of the quarter. I think basically it's exactly you've hit on all of the spots that are influencing the way that people think right now. We also can add to that Inform is going to come out Friday with a small grain production number, as well as their initial 2014 acres and production numbers. So, you know, that'll be one thing that could bring a pop into the marketplace. But I took some time today, Todd, you know, after being at the meeting last night and talking to clients. You know, the USDA reports mid-range numbers all the time, and I thought that I would put together something that maybe made it a little more clear why so many of us are concerned about what's going on out here. You know, if you look at the actual production range in bushels on corn, there's a 25-bushel range from the lowest to the highest number. So that mid-range number is 12.5 bushels from the bottom and 12.5 bushels from the top. That's a huge range.
Wait, you mean on the USDA number it's range from the deviation?
Yes. Yeah, the range is from 155.3 down to 142.8 or up to 167.8.
Oh, 20, yeah, okay, 12.5 and 12.5.
Yep.
I thought you were 25 and 25. I thought a 50 bushel swing.
No, 12.5 and 12.5. This
well,
is the total. And all the numbers I'm going to give you in the audience are total numbers from the lowest level to the highest level.
Okay? Right. Okay.
This is their deviation on exports on corn, 869 million bushels from the lowest to the highest. On usage, 754 million bushels. And this is the one that blows your mind. On ending stocks, 1.3 billion bushels from the lowest level to the highest level.
That's a pretty big swing.
yes, it is. It really, really is. And then you look at beans and did the same type of thing. There's a 7.6 bushel range from the lowest to the highest in beans, which in beans is very significant. You know, that's 3.8 bushel either side of that 41.2.
Right.
And that's huge. On exports, this is amazing. Exports, 579 million bushel. From the lowest to the highest. Use, 179 million bushel. And ending stocks, 179 million bushel. And the lowest end takes us down to 60 million bushels. So, you know, these are numbers that I think that all producers, even though it's a lot of numbers and everything else, all I'm trying to bring home is there is so much uncertainty in these markets, and especially in the corn market. The part that was surprising was how much uncertainty there was on the side of the bean market. It was like 45.2%, and that's huge. And so we have to deal with this, and when they're making business decisions and deciding what they're going to do, this has to be in the back of their mind. There's this big a range, and all it says to me loud and clear is at the point in time that this report was put out now in September, the USDA had very little confidence in exactly where we are going to end up. So, you know, and just like us as producers, you know, and everybody else that's out there, we really don't know exactly where we're going to end up either. But I think the thing that is always bad, we have to have a number to focus on. Everybody focuses on the mid-range number without recognizing that there is that big a difference. And look at both the corn and the bean market.
There are large swings. Which side do you land on?
Well, I think when you look at the corn market, now, you know, that's a hard question to answer, because if you could tell me what harvested acres were going to be, I could give you a much better idea. If harvested acres do not drop dramatically, then I think we can still see a yield drop from where we are right now. If harvested acres in October do drop rather significantly, we could stay the same or even be higher and still end up with a lower production number. So I'd have to say on the bean side of things, I probably would be on the lower side from where we are right now. I think that we still could drop down to around 40 bushels to the acre. And, you know, then that leads right into the FSA numbers that came out yesterday. I just looked at Iowa and Illinois, and when you look at the corn numbers, we're still short 100,000 acres of corn in Iowa that were expected to be planted, and 200,000 acres in Illinois. And, I mean, you know, in terms of what we plant, that's not a huge amount, but I think we can expect to see that accounted for possibly next month. The big one on beans is we're short 300,000 acres in beans in Iowa. In Illinois, we're right to where they expected us to be planted, and so there's just a lot of variables out there.
All right, let's take corn to begin with and deal with early ship, or that which you're going to probably get within the next 2 weeks. And then the mid-range, and whether you want to store anything for long-term.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at corn, Todd, it's a situation where there's carry in that market, you know, and some pretty decent carry in that respect. In other words, the market is telling you we don't necessarily want it all right now. I think that will be influenced by just how willing our producers are to actually bring corn to town beyond what, you know, what they have to. I think producers are going to be likely to store, and I think once those bins are closed up, they may be closed up for a long time. And so that will make a difference. I think you'll see that in basis more than you'll necessarily see it in futures. But I would caution anyone, if you're going to put it in thinking that you're going to capture the carry, make sure you take some steps to guarantee that, because as we know in the past, that isn't always the case. Many times we've seen the nearby go off at one level, and as the deferreds get closer, they end up going off at that lower level also. So I think that's one of the things. When you look at the bean side of things, I'm very much in the camp of, you know, selling beans off the combine, reowning them out in July, and I'll explain to you why. When I look at, there's a little bit of carry today, and I don't quite understand it, but from November to January, we developed this 2.5 cents or 3.5 cents of carry. But I think that when you look at the danger that you run, now you may see some great improvement in basis. That possibility is there, and you have to be looking at it. But the thing that we always have to keep in the back of your mind is that at any time, the month that they're paying off of can be switched. Now, for right now, November and January are very close together. There is not much of a deficit there. So if this is what's happening and you decide you want to store it, that's fine. But make sure you stay on top of that, because otherwise if they suddenly switch and, like, between January and March there's 18 cents of change, you immediately have given up 18 cents. And there's no notice that goes out to us that says on this day we switch. So I still think that it isn't a, if you're going to sell something, I'd still be selling beans, but I would reown them. I would not wait. I would just get them reowned in July.
How about for next year's crop?
Well, when you look at next year's crop, Todd, we've been extremely active in protecting our crop insurance numbers, and I think that if we can get the December contract back up again to the 470 level, there's a lot of congestion at that 470 level and just above it, I'll be pretty active again buying some in-the-money puts and selling some out-of-the-money calls just to get prepared. So there was a estimate that came out from someone today. I don't know exactly who it was, but they're speculating that the 2014 average corn price is going to be about 440. So, you know, if you look at that, we're sitting right here at 495, we could be at the top end of the range if we have a 50-cent range, and that possibility is really high because of how much grain we're bringing into the 2014 season. So I think you have to be proactive on that. And when you look at the November beans, you know, I think that you could argue that it would not be a bad thing to put a $12 put in place. And why? Because when you look at the ratio, it says plant beans, plant beans, plant beans, and the trade is going to look at it that way. So I think for a period of time going into the growing season, you would pro- probably be very, it would be beneficial for you to have something in place until we actually get some ideas of what's going on. And, you know, that's down the road, 4 months, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Yep. That's Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. You can hear her again at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you visit our Ag Outlook Meetings section. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. You'll find that tomorrow, Dave, will be up in Mazan, Illinois, starting at 6:30 for a little supper, and then 7 o'clock, along with Jerry Goodell and Kurt Kimmel and a few others to take on an ag panel. If you're in the area, make sure you drop by and visit with them at the American Legion building, I believe, in Mazan.
In agricultural news, the Congressional Budget Office has released the score for the nutrition bill organized by House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. The CBO says the measure would cut $39 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program over 10 years. The CBO summary projects that food stamp participation would decline from 48 million people in an average month to 34 million by 2023. Major U.S. business groups this week are suggesting that the new farm bill might violate World Trade Organization rules against trade-distorting subsidies. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, National Association of Manufacturers, and National Foreign Trade Council say in a letter that the bills pending in the House and Senate carried some of the same provisions the WTO ruled against in the cotton case, and that the bills run a substantial risk of violating WTO rules on farm subsidies. According to analysis by the international law firm White and Case, nations who might bring WTO cases against the U.S. include Brazil, China, and Argentina. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that government support for agriculture in the world's leading farm nations increased in 2012. The producer support estimate increased to 17% of gross farm receipts in 2012 versus 15% in 2011. In the 34 OECD nations, governmental support to producers hit $258.6 billion in 2012, or 19% of farm income. The level of government support for agriculture in the U.S. was 7% in 2012. Flooding led to the closure of one of the country's largest beef processing plants on Monday. The JBS plant in Greeley, Colorado, canceled its first and second shifts because of the flood disaster in northern Colorado. More rain fell in 5 days than the area normally sees in 1 year. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says the biodiesel industry produced 148 million gallons in August. Biodiesel is the first EPA-designated advanced biofuel to reach commercial-scale production nationwide. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Speaking of Dave, he'll be tomorrow in Mazan, Illinois at the American Legion. That's there on Depot Street. 508 is the address. It's pretty easy to find. Jerry Goodell will be there along with Kurt Kimmel and Bill Maher for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. That's tomorrow evening. Dinner is at 6:30. The Outlook panel is at 7. 8 o'clock. Be sure to visit with Dave tomorrow night up in Mazan. It's sponsored by the Grundy County Farm Bureau. Now, up next, you know the business of pricing commodities. Well, that's pretty unpredictable. However, history and current conditions combined can provide some insight. I'll have more on what ag economist Darrell Good from the University of Illinois says is the unfinished business of this year's corn and soybean crops. The price of corn depends a whole lot on how much of it the trade believes will be left over from one year to the next. This number is called the carryover, or ending stocks figure. And right now, it's predicted to be about 1.8 billion bushels for the fall of 2014. It's a very comfortable supply number and has the price of corn in the $4.50 range. What's not quite known just yet is just how much corn we'll start with from this year's harvest. University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good thinks a change in the average national yield is pretty unlikely. Still, that doesn't mean the total production won't change. Production is a function of yield times acreage.
Because of planting difficulties, however, corn production uncertainty this year also comes from uncertainty about the magnitude of the area to be harvested for grain. The USDA's Farm Service Agency is scheduled to release updated estimates of planted acreage on September 17th. That report will influence expectations for the acreage estimates in the October crop production report. Without a change in the yield forecast, prospects for 2013 marketing year ending stocks below 1.5 billion bushels would require NAS to lower the harvested acreage estimate by more than 2 million acres. Such a large reduction seems unlikely.
At this juncture, writes Darrell Good in his weekly outlook, there's a high probability the 2013 U.S. corn crop will be large enough to result in a meaningful increase in stocks by the end of the current marketing year. Prospects of ample supplies point to an average marketing year farm price in the mid-$4 range. Cash prices, he says, would be expected to follow a typical large crop pattern of establishing lows at harvest, followed by modest increases that would about cover the cost of storage. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
On this Wednesday afternoon, we'll check the cash grain market with Scott Butcher. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon.
Have you been taking any corn in?
Yeah, we have. We've seen a pretty good amount of corn here this week, and look for that to continue. Next couple of days might be a little rough with the weather forecast being a little bit wetter for our area, but next week looks much better, so hopefully we'll have some pretty good progress.
Your rough guess on yield and moisture content?
I would say that we're somewhere around 200. It seems like most of the stuff that we've heard has been around that area on an average. I mean, we've heard, obviously a little bit below that, and more than that, probably above it. So, feels like yields are good right now on corn and soybeans, both for that matter. Everything that we've heard so far has been really good on beans. Moisture content right now is, still around 25, maybe a little bit up to 30 on some stuff to the north of us.
And are your expectations for next week that things really start to pick up, or are we still a couple weeks out before that happens?
No, I really do think that things pick up next week. It feels like a really good weather forecast for next week. Clearer and still warmer temperatures. So, really would feel like as we get into next week, we start to see a lot of folks go to the field.
Your bids?
Tonight we are 441 on corn, 1351 on beans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Play-Doh Day. The modeling clay substitute was developed by Noah and Joseph McVicker in 1956. Originally, the compound was available only in one color, off-white, and came in a 1.5-pound cardboard can. Among the ingredients, wheat flour, water, and salt. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Charles Valentine Raleigh was born. A British-born American entomologist, he pioneered the scientific study of insects for their economic impact in agriculture. In 1851, the first edition of the New York Times was published. In 1951, John Clark was born, an English molecular biologist. He was a founder of applying molecular technology to farm animals. His work resulted in a sheep giving milk with human proteins. And his work set the stage for the eventual cloning of a sheep in 1996, the result of transplanting the DNA of an adult sheep to an unfertilized egg cell. And in 1990, a 500-pound, 6-foot-high Hershey chocolate kiss was put on display at Times Square in New York City. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here, as always, to take a look at the weather forecast with us. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time. What do you see in the way of rainfall?
Well, we have some scattered showers on thunderstorms popping up in various locations across Illinois and in some neighboring states in Missouri and Iowa today, and we're going to see this maybe increase a little bit this afternoon. Now, these are all totally random showers and thunderstorms. They really aren't associated with any specific little disturbance in the atmosphere. So you'll have to keep an eye on the sky the rest of the afternoon for all of the Midwest for some pop-up shower and thunderstorms that might occur. Most of these are going to be light, but I would lay odds pretty high that there's going to be a handful of counties out there that might get a half inch to an inch of rain. But that would not be very common, and certainly not the rule, just the exception. Now, we have a cool front that will be cutting through the Midwest beginning tomorrow, probably tomorrow afternoon. It will probably run from Kansas into parts of Iowa. And as we go through the night tomorrow night and into Friday, we'll likely see that front race across the entire Midwest. It will stimulate some new thunderstorms, and we'll actually get a line of storms that will likely form from Missouri to Michigan, going right through the heart of the Corn Belt, and we'll likely see many areas picking up on some rain with that event. Now, the amounts, again, are relatively light, but maybe quarter to three-quarter inch amounts will take place, so we'll have some disruption to harvest progress across parts of the region. And the moisture will probably still be helpful for a handful of very late maturing crops, but it's getting pretty late for us to see a lot of benefit from that.
And as we move into next week?
Next week, I think we'll see a few days of dry weather. We'll probably get some heat going again across the region. I should point out, too, it'll be fairly warm across the region here just tomorrow afternoon with temperatures pushing up fairly high in front of that frontal system. We'll probably see temperatures getting up into the 80s, maybe even some lower 90s. Next week, temperatures probably won't be much warmer than 70s and lower 80s, but that's still warmer than normal for this time of the year. There should not be any precipitation until the second half of next week. During the Wednesday through Friday period, the 25th through the 28th, we'll see another frontal system and another chance for rain.
Look around the planet for me. Tell me a little bit about the end of the Chinese growing season.
Well, they are looking pretty good right now. It took them all summer long, but it looks drier now across China than it has for many weeks, and that's exactly what they need. The crop has been subjected to too much moisture, and this is perfectly timed with their harvest season coming up. The crop conditions should improve as we go forward. Even a fairly good outlook for some of their wheat and rapeseed planting coming up shortly as well. And outside of that, I think probably trouble areas around the world would include some locations in Australia. We still have some dryness in the state of South Australia, where reproduction will be occurring soon, and they're going to need some greater rain there. And, of course, Argentina's the biggest area of concern, with still a significant droughty pattern prevailing in the western part of that country.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. You have a great afternoon, too. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.